Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, you do a lot of consulting for small business owners.
I do.
Have you ever found yourself telling one of your clients, I think it's time to chalk up on this so-called business as a hobby and move on to something else? Did I nail it?
No, that was so bad. So let me just tell you what I would say. Let's just think about something for a minute. Are you looking at this business as something that you can see long-term for yourself for profit? Or is this something that you're considering doing just because it makes you feel good?
Okay. That's a little more politically correct. Now, before you throw up, to the listener, before you throw up your hands and say, great, Tracy's going to encourage me to shut down my struggling business, just listen to this episode because we can stop you from being your own worst enemy. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba, and you are listening to the Journey to There radio show. This is the intersection between personal and business growth, and this show is no hobby. We are paying it forward on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, as well as Empower Radio Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and you can find us on journeytothere.com. Today, it's Pride Before Progress. Tracy, how proud are you?
Well, I'm very proud that we're here, that you're our amazing co-host, that the show is doing so well. I'm full of pride.
It is a show, though. It's not a hobby, right?
Exactly. But you know what's important? The difference. I'm very proud of what we're doing and what I do in my consulting business and a lot of the accomplishments that I've had in my life personally and professionally. But there's a big difference between being prideful and being egotistical.
I hear you there. I agree with you.
There is. And so for today's topic, we are going to use one of my infamous Tracy-isms.
Tracy-isms.
A Tracy-ism. I've actually been tagged. I got tagged with that a very long time ago. And clients and friends still today say things like, give us a Tracy-ism, or even worse, at our boot camp class, the girls go, we need a sermon today.
So are we going to have to change Tracy's takeaways to Tracy's isms?
Well, I have plenty of isms, but I think we'll keep our takeaways intact because that's about how to get rid of some of them.
You've got a truckload of isms.
I do. And you know what? Every single one of them has taught me something. So I like to pack them up in the truck and drive it forward. But today's topic is something that is very sensitive to me in that I see people doing it to themselves all the time. And when I do see it, it just like I literally feel a ping in my heart. And so the Tracy-ism is called Pride Before Progress.
Yeah.
And basically the definition of that, if you will, is how our ego gets in the way of making good decisions.
Hmm.
And it may not be very clear as I state the topic.
Yeah, I was going to say we're going to need some examples quite early on.
I can assure you, I have a few.
No.
So, yes, and some of it is about just allowing personal emotions to override business logic, which, you know, fundamentally is just going to be something that just kicks you in the butt. Literally fanny, whatever you want to call it, when that starts to happen. So I'm trying to think of something that I could give you as an example. And since I really like to use real life examples when it comes to myself, and I like to use real life example when it comes to my business, the names change, but the stories are the same.
I have a feeling that you're going to give us an example of a recent experience that you just had.
Yes, I have this heavy on my heart today. So this is why I might feel a little bit more like a sermon than a message. But I'm going to start with myself because it's far easier for me to be critical over myself because it's just me, right? As opposed to maybe throwing someone else under the bus.
Yeah.
But I might do both. So, but with me, okay. So I'm going to use this example so that we can roll out this topic so that people can... listeners and people who are just sitting in the car while somebody else is listening and you're held hostage can really understand where I'm going with this. So I'm going to use my own personal example first, and here it is. about three, maybe even five, because I lose track of time, years ago.
Tracy loses track of time.
I lose track of time because it goes by so fast. So let's just call it four.
Okay.
Just, you know, somewhere between three and five. So 4 years ago, there was a conference that was, it was its inaugural conference, and it was being presented in three cities of which I either lived, visited frequently, or lived adjacent to. Okay. The subject matter was completely in alignment with my heart-centered mission of working with women entrepreneurs, as well as an alignment with the business expertise that, in my own mind, that I felt like I could really contribute to this inaugural event. And the women that were producing it had never produced an event before, which I had a tremendous amount of experience, and I still do, doing that. So I know this is going to sound a little egotistical. I'm getting to the pride part. So I just thought I was a shoo-in to be a speaker at this conference, because it was like, I knew the people that were producing it. They wouldn't have had to pay a speaker fee, which is sometimes a really big consideration in budgets.
Would this be one of a few speakers, or just the speaker?
You know, quite honestly, it would have been one of it. I wouldn't have been the keynote, but I would have been one of multiple speakers.
Okay.
And so, long story short, I think you can see where this is going, yeah, everyone.
You said would have been. I have a feeling you were not up at that podium.
Would have been. Yes. So I, for whatever reason, still to this day, do not know for sure, have some suspicions, was not selected to speak at said conference. I'm not holding a grudge, really. Even it might sound like I am.
Now, my first question is, did you automatically think, well, these people just don't know what they're talking about?
I will neither confirm nor deny that statement. However, okay, so I was disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I mean, this is about transparency. This is about me just like going behind the curtain. I could tell you all these kinds of reasons that would save face as to why I thought I wasn't chosen or why I didn't. Some of this comes back just like flat out kindergarten, like not being being picked last for kickball, right? We've talked about that before. So, you know, my little feelings were hurt, and that doesn't happen very easily. So all that being said, fast forward 3 to 5 years later, we're calling it four, this conference is coming back around.
Ah.
And it's coming back around in my backyard, so to speak.
Now, just pause there for a second, because let's go back 4 years. Your feelings were hurt. Did you investigate as to why you were not chosen?
I did not, because I did not.
Well, how did you internally get through it? How did you handle it?
Well, that's a great question. I think what I handled it in a way that was like...
I mean, was it denial?
No, it was in your face acceptance, but I filed it under this other Tracyism that I have, but I actually barred this one. I didn't invent it, which was some will, some won't, so what? Move on.
Okay.
So in my mind, it was like... Some will pick you, some will not. So what? Move on, right?
All right. So okay. It wasn't any self-sabotage where, oh my gosh, I stink. Well, you know, they didn't pick me.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, no, no.
So your nose was high, and it's like, well, I'm better than them anyway.
I'm not going to confirm or deny how I felt inside, but did not use my outside voice.
All right, so fast forward 4 years.
About, yes, let's get into the present as to pride before progress.
I can see the comments. I can see the comments coming in now.
Oh Lord, I'm so glad it's not like Facebook Live when they like put them across the screen. Oh boy, that would be so distracting. Anyway.
Okay, Jackie in Toledo says, no, I'm just
So the conference is coming back around, and I really need to get serious because this is really not funny. This topic is very serious. Sorry. It wasn't funny when I didn't get picked, and it's not funny now, because here's why. So I'm talking with my business partner in my other business, the art-based business.
This is nowadays.
This is now. Okay. This is happening. This conference is coming back again. It's the first time back since it started. And my business partner, who's a fine arts painter, really would like to have her art featured at the conference, which her art is fabulous. It's almost always featured at large events such as this.
Right.
And so I'm kind of wearing two hats here, because I represent her for her fine arts. And then there's also little old me, who got kicked to the curb for speaking at the last one. So I'm having a conversation with my business partner, and she's asking me to reach out to the producers of this event. And it, my first reaction was like a temper tantrum. I'm not doing that. Blah, blah, blah. And then I literally paused myself and I said, wait a minute. I am not going to put pride before progress. I am not going to let my ego prevent her or myself from the possibility of having another opportunity, another shot at this particular conference, because who knows what type of situation they were in before, who knows what type of situation they're in now. So I agreed to myself and to my business partner that I would approach the facilitators of the conference and reach out to them, and actually put myself out there in a very vulnerable space, because I don't really like to get kicked to the curb once, much less twice.
Now, this is an aside, too, because this is one issue of representing her, and then the other issue of you wanting to contribute to speaking.
Right, which speaks to a whole nother, theoretically speaking, if would I have put my pride aside if she hadn't pushed me with the fact that I felt a little obligated that my ego should not get in the way of her product, right?
Right, exactly.
So I honestly, I cannot tell you that I would have been able to find the umph, if you will, to rise above it and reach out on my own. But I think I would have, and this is why. Because before she even contacted me and asked me about the idea of doing that on her behalf, I had already talked to and sent an email correspondence to one of the assistants. So I was already sort of laying that groundwork. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that I really believe in like nudges and signs from the universe. And I just really felt like, okay, I'd already sent a couple emails to the assistant. And then my business partner was asking me to do something for her. And so I thought, you know what? I am literally going to follow my own advice. Because if I was talking to someone else, I would say, hey, come on, do not let your pride happen before progress. Like, just pick up the phone and call them. What's the worst that's going to happen? And so that's what I would say to you, Russ, or anyone else. But saying that to yourself is pretty hard.
Yeah.
So I commit to you, our fan base, listeners, people who listen because you're haters, whoever you are, I commit that I am going to do that outreach this week. As a matter of fact, and accountability is key. So now I'm accountable to everybody.
So you are going to speak.
No, I'm going to speak to the person to ask them if there's a slot for me to speak.
Okay, because I'm on pins and needles now because we're juggling two things now. So do we have an answer as to, like, is her artwork going to be presented there?
Well, none of that is.
It's all still up in the air.
That's more to be revealed based on the fact that I have to pick up the phone and ask those two questions.
Because I want to see if good karma is working for you here. Because I like the way you're going with this. I like the road you're taking.
Well, thank you. And there might be some speed bumps along the way. Because what's going to happen if they choose her art but they don't choose me?
That was going to be my next question.
That is going to suck.
Okay.
Pardon the phrase.
So let's put ourselves in that situation right now. Say her artwork is accepted, and say they say, yeah, you know, we're all set with with contributors, so we don't need you.
Well, I kind of like to fall back to that old Meatloaf song, two out of three ain't bad.
Uh-huh.
Basically, it would be one out of two ain't bad. Uh-huh. But whatever, you know, I mean, I just have to accept that maybe I'm just not the fit that I think I am. And that's where the ego comes into place. So
let's see where the ego comes into play right now. And I know you're probably not going to answer this. What would you choose? What would you prefer if you had to have one or the other?
Now, that's a tough one because I really, really.
You don't have to answer it.
No, I will. I'm a loyalist to a fault. Sometimes it's a blessing. Most times it can be a curse. But I would be thrilled if the art was featured. In addition, I don't even know if I'd be thrilled at this point. I got to say, like, I'm literally, like, you know, what we do, we talk when we talk.
Yeah.
And I'm not even 100% sure it's a matter of being thrilled that I would be chosen as much as it is as I don't want to be rejected again. So
okay.
I don't know. Now I'm confused whether it is pride.
I think you're more prepared for rejection. I think it would probably be better for you if the whole, you know, the artwork part of it happened. I think you would still be proud. And what are you personally going to get out of it to be accepted as a speaker?
I think I'm going to try not to say my first reaction, which is a little Toby Keith, how do you like me now? Because that's the first thing that went through
my head. Listen, you already got the how do you like me now. Your platform right here is on the Journey to Their radio show. Nothing beats that.
And I don't even, this could, again, like this whole ego pride thing is getting so infused, and that was not my point of the topic at all, but here we go. So the thing about it is I've spoken at global conferences before.
Yes.
This one is like a local conference on a small scale. I mean, I don't, you know, and I'm not putting the conference down. That sounds so disparaging. It's just like, why is it so important?
But you
to me?
Want it more than you than because, than the global
you know
thing.
Why? Because I got kicked to the curb the first time, and I thought I was. My ego said I was such a shoo-in.
Are you
but
going
I
to be okay?
Wasn't.
Are you going to be okay if you get quote unquote kicked to the curb again?
How many times have I said that in the last few minutes? Yes, and here's why. I'm going to be okay with it because fundamentally, my biggest platform that I stand on in my life and on this show, behind the mic, in front of people, face to face, is that if you let the fear of success hold you back, that leads to self-sabotage and you never get to the place where you want to be, wherever that place ends up being. Okay, I'm going to say that again. If you let your fear of success keep you from reaching out, the self-sabotage element of that will keep you from being wherever it is that you want to be or end up being. So you can truly alter your path by just not reaching out because of the fear of getting rejected. And that was really one of the things about this topic that fascinates me is how many times I see within myself that I've now obviously trying to overcome in general and have overcome to a degree, but watching clients, watching friends, watching strangers, watching vendors that really sabotage themselves because ultimately they were fearful that they would be successful. And as a result of that, they just created scenarios where they ended up making their self-fulfilled prophecy come true. And that just kills me.
Okay, here's my question, because one of the things, like how we open the show, where, you know, is this a business or is it a hobby? And you have in the show notes here, keeping a business open because you have too much pride in admitting it did not work. How would you consult with somebody? Where do you find that fine line as to the business is not working? It's not working because of the economy. It's not working because of the product or service. Or it's not working because of me. How do you?
Oh, wow. So this is one of the most difficult challenges that a business development strategist with the emphasis on development, which is what I do and is my niche of expertise.
Right.
This is where it really, the rubber meets the road. I'm just full of cliches today.
Go ahead.
And actually, I almost wish I hadn't put this on the prep, because it's really a difficult place to be in. When I've said this before, a lot of times people will come to me, new clients will come to me when they have a mess to clean up as opposed to a business to build. And it's a really, really tough place to be in to tell somebody that their business is ugly in a way that they don't business is ugly.
For you, it is. I'm a big fan of the show Shark Tank, and there's that one guy, Mr. Wonderful, whatever his name is.
Oh my God! For this, I'm out.
The bald guy. he is not afraid to tell you your business is a hobby. It needs to be taken out back and shot, and you need to move on to something else. He's not afraid to say that. So sometimes it's the business idea, but sometimes it's a mixture of the business idea and the person and the ego, because a lot of these people, you know, you'll watch the show and say, yeah, that is not a good business idea. And these people are like, no, we're going through with it. This is going to be a huge success. And they've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars already. So it's like,
Their pride came before progress. Absolutely.
Yes.
So here's the thing. So because I work on the principles of the intersection between personal and business growth, initially, I would probably try to identify some of the personal barriers that have led to the situation where the business is, just to ensure that and rule out that they weren't in this cycle of self-sabotage. Because what will happen is they get to this place, let's say there's just no rescuing this, it's just way too far off the road into the ditch, they can't pull it back out. But why? You know, you kind of know kind of about it. You need to understand the why, because typically people who are entrepreneurial, if one fails, it's said fail fast, move on, start another
right.
one, because we're junkies for startups, all of us who start things up. And if you're going to just do another startup, one right after the other, then you better figure out first why things are failing, because you're just going to repeat those same cycles. And that's why it's so important to connect the two, because most people, because of pride and ego, will not look at their part in it. They
right.
will only, they'll blame outside circumstances,
right.
other people, the economy, other things. So,
all right. So I've got 2 points. I want you to remember junkies for startups, because I'll get back to that in just a second. But
oh, I will never forget junkies for startups.
I have the ultimate faith in you that it wouldn't take you too long at all when you're consulting with somebody to be able to identify whether it's an ego personality issue or if it's a business issue. So I'm going to give you that. Now, going back to the junkie, what was it? See, I already forgot.
Startup junkies.
All right. I also believe that there's two types. I think there's startup junkies where you've got that person where it's like, you know what? It's not working for you. This is not going to work, but I see your enthusiasm and I know you're going to come up with something good. And then the other side of it is some people have so much passion in that one idea, that one thing that they will just not let go of, as much of a failure it might be.
Right.
So it's...
Well, I have to tell you though that those people typically don't seek out assistance. Those are the ones that just
with the
keep
big
driving
egos.
It, keep driving it until like the trunk's into the ditch. So like the trunk is smashed. It comes up to the windshield. It goes through the back. Goes out. You know, no. But that brings up an interesting point that I do want to circle back to, which is, what are your alternatives? Let's say, for example, two things. One is, what if you just had always in your mind wanted to start a business and you left a really pretty comfortable situation in order to do that, and then you got into it and you realized, wow, as much as I love this, I am so not an entrepreneur.
Right.
And that takes a lot of pride. Putting aside your pride, it takes a lot of ego deflation to just basically hold up your hand and say, I'm out, and for this, I'm out, because I'm not really as much of an entrepreneur as I thought I was. I don't actually really enjoy this. I pretty much like to go back to where I'm getting
right.
a lot more, feel like I have a lot more job security and
that's
in a situation like that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
that
that's
is so
that's
totally
actually
okay.
it's a fork in the road. And I don't have an issue with somebody going back to working for the employer, but sometimes that also motivates somebody who is not an entrepreneur by any means, and it forces them to become one, and they end up succeeding.
And then the other thing is, what then you could look at, okay, maybe I'm not a full-on self-employed, I can do this, because it requires a lot.
Get some help.
Right. Yeah. Get some help. However, the other thing is, if it's really not for you, but you really don't want to go back and work for the man, so to speak, then there are some alternatives. There are things like franchising, for example,
right.
if there's a budget for that, then you can direct your skills and your passion towards a business that's already established, and you're still an owner of your own business. However, you have the support of a larger environment of support through different advertising supports, and they're already basically handing you a business in the box where you can execute it on your own and you own it, but you're not having to worry about what are all the logistics of starting it up yourself. So that, you know, what I would look like and look for with people who came to me is, let's figure out the why. Then, based on what the why is, let's figure out what the next steps are. And then once the next steps are in place, whatever that is, then we go into roadmap, which is action. And most of the time, if you can get through to the action part of it, you have so much relief at that point, because you just know what to do. And if closing the business is part of that, and unfortunately, that doesn't happen very often, but one of the reasons why it's actually showing up in today's conversation is because I had a conversation yesterday, as a matter of fact, about a business that I really, they're not my client, but they expanded very quickly. Right. They hit a small market. They were like, they were the new kid in town. They were from a they moved from a larger city to a smaller market. So they brought a lot of the large market mentality into a smaller area, which can be challenging in itself. They caught on like wildfire. They caught on like wildfire. And they opened a second location, and then they opened a third location, and everybody was like, oh, look at them. They're doing so well. And, you know, they have their children in private school and, you know, all of the things that come with that.
It's like the American
perception
dream
of success, right? Yeah. And so recently they had to close one of the locations, and my friend who has worked with them before in another capacity, a real estate capacity, was like, it was so unfortunate because they really started avoiding us. Like, they were couple friends, right? And so all of a sudden, and their kids are the same age. So all of a sudden, because
they were ashamed,
one of the businesses
they felt
failed,
ashamed.
Yeah. So they had a lot of humiliation and shame around the fact that one of these businesses didn't work and that they needed to close it. But the reality of the situation is that a lot of that was self-perception, because the other one, the flagship, the one that came here, they came here with, is doing extraordinarily well. And I just don't think that people were judging them nearly as much as they were judging themselves.
No, yeah, that's the whole ego thing.
Right,
which was causing them
to isolate, which was causing them to miss out on some really good friendship support that they could have gotten for themselves getting through this difficult time. So that's another example of putting your pride before progress.
Okay, and that's what we're talking about, pride before progress. It's a lot of human nature mixed with competitive nature and a whole lot of ego. We're going to touch in on Tracy's takeaways just a moment away.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. Produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
We're back. You're listening to the Journey to There radio show and the episode entitled Pride Before Progress, how our ego kind of gets in the way of our success. And you've got your takeaways.
I do. And before I transition into the takeaways, in order for them to make sense, I just want to highlight one really quick thing.
Yeah.
And the third leg of some of the things that we've talked about today is, in the category of pride before progress, is that when you're having a constructive criticism conversation with someone, or even if it's someone that you're asking for help because you've maybe hired them to advise you and you really don't understand, you hire them to advise you because you need the help and understanding what it is they're recommending. So if you question that, then all of a sudden, if their first response is to the criticism, they perceive it as criticism, is to defend it, then it goes into this whole spiral that wasn't even productive in the first place, because you are sitting on the other side asking for help, and instead of them offering you a solution, they take it as criticism, and then ultimately end up sabotaging what could be a really great long-term relationship, because they're not hearing that there's an opportunity for a long-term relationship, that you need help. They're hearing, you don't believe in what I'm telling you, so therefore we shouldn't work together anymore. And it's really polarizing black and white thinking.
Yeah. And you know, that to me sounds like one of those situations where, yeah, if everything that I've done for you looks good, hey, kudos to me. But if you've got something to criticize about something I did, then it's your fault.
And that's what you do. And if you're only thinking short term,
right,
and let your emotions get in the way and take it personally. So my other takeaway is really then, if you want to kind of walk the scenario all the way through, so you're working with somebody, you're not clear on what they're trying to help you with, so you question it, or maybe you don't agree with it, so you're having a philosophical discussion, they take it personally, they cut off the relationship because they think that you're not in alignment anymore for whatever reason. And then the person on the other side is then, let's say, just like, whoa, wait, I thought we were having a conversation here. I thought we had a long-term relationship ahead. Then they're going to feel vulnerable. They're going to feel hurt. They're going to be confused. So what do you do with that? So that person's pride gets in the way. So my recommendation for that is, do not, under any circumstances, respond to that immediately, because your first reaction is going to be hurtful, throwing up all your emotions onto this person, when really it's just a business situation. So I invented this thing I call the 3-day rule. And I don't respond to anything that's emotionally challenging for me for 3 days, nor do I buy anything that has a big
Can you actually sit on it for 3 days without going crazy?
I didn't say I do it without going crazy. I just said it's a mandatory rule for me.
Okay.
Because you will be amazed at how differently you feel after you give yourself the full 3 days to respond.
Now, going back to your other situation, I think the artwork is going to be accepted for that big event, and I think you're also going to be a speaker. I think karma is going to work for you. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. And today, go ahead, log on to journeytothere.com, especially if you have not checked in with us in a while online. Leave a comment. Let us know how we're doing. You can also listen to our past episodes. That's journeytothere.com. Catch us also on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and so much more. Don't miss the next empowering episode as we will once again hang out with you at the intersection between personal and business growth.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.